If I could turn back time, if I could find a way, baby, if I could turn back time, if I could find a way, if I could turn back time, if I could turn back time. 60 years ago last month, the Gemini 10 made a three-day mission in Earth orbit. Here is how the NZBC and the Voice of America reported the end of the flight.
And now here is the news, read by Hewitt Humphrey. The Gemini 10 astronauts John Young and Michael Collins splashed to a pinpoint landing in the Western Atlantic safe and sound. Within minutes, they had climbed onto a small raft dropped to them. Then a helicopter took them to the recovery ship Guadalcanal. Millions watched the recovery on television, beamed live from the ship via a communication satellite. Once the astronauts were aboard the ship, doctors immediately made an extensive medical examination. In particular, they hoped to identify the substance that irritated their eyes during an early stage of the flight. Young and Collins are to fly to Cape Kennedy sometime tomorrow.
Astronauts John Young and Michael Collins returned to Cape Kennedy today for a day or two of reports following yesterday's successful completion of their three-day space mission in Gemini 10. Later, the astronauts will go to Houston, Texas, Space Center, for more intensive interrogation by space scientists. Dr. George Miller, acting director of the Gemini program, called yesterday's precise landing an auspicious ending to a very successful mission. The astronauts guided Gemini 10 to a landing within 6 kilometers of the U.S. Navy helicopter carrier Guadalcanal in the Atlantic. Millions of Americans and Europeans watched the descent of Gemini 10 into the sea and saw astronauts Young and Collins being hailed as they arrived aboard the recovery ship. The landing and arrival of the astronauts were televised by means of the Early Bird communications satellite.
And those were the days when a transmission via satellite was so exciting. Well, it so happens that John Young went to the moon twice, once to orbit it, and another time, greedy fellow, he actually walked on the moon. Mike Collins, on the other hand, went to the moon once, and then went and became the director of the Air and Space Museum. Well, this is Look Back in Time, or Turn Back Time, on the Space Show. In late 1966 March, the Soviet Union launched Luna 10, which a few days later became the first spacecraft to go into orbit around the moon. In mid-June of 1966, NASA announced that it was preparing to place Lunar Orbiter 1 into lunar orbit. This report from the NZBC.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Space Agency says it plans to rocket a picture-taking satellite into orbit around the moon, possibly to photograph Surveyor 1 on the lunar surface during a 6-day period starting on July the 12th. The 850-pound spacecraft called Lunar Orbiter is designed to fly within 28 miles of the moon's crust to take a series of detailed pictures of potential Apollo astronaut landing sites.
The launch was delayed several times.
At Cape Kennedy, trouble in the fuel system of an Atlas booster rocket has forced postponement of today's launch of an American moon satellite. The satellite, called Lunar Orbiter, is designed to circle the moon and photograph possible landing areas for future astronauts. Launch is now scheduled for tomorrow, between 19 and 22 hours Greenwich Mean Time.
And finally, it was on its way to the moon.
An American camera-carrying spacecraft is on its way toward an orbit of the moon to look for a landing site for future American astronauts. The craft, called Lunar Orbiter, was launched Wednesday from Cape Kennedy, Florida, and is due to arrive at its destination Sunday. The picture-taking is to start a few days later. The lunar orbiter's time objective is to photograph 9 areas along the moon's equator, which are being considered for astronaut landing sites. America's man-to-the-moon mission, Project Apollo, will be flown within the next 3 years. One of the secondary objectives for the lunar orbiter is to photograph America's Surveyor spacecraft, which has been sitting in the moon's so-called Ocean of Storms since early June. It will also take pictures of areas never before seen on the back side of the moon, study the lunar gravity, measure the radiation present, and help determine the number of times the moon is hit by micrometeoroids. Yes. This is the first of 5 lunar orbiting spacecraft planned by the United States. It's hoped that one will be launched every 3 months.
The NZBC reported the progress towards the moon.
American spacecraft Lunar Orbiter 1 say it's functioning well. The capsule, launched from Cape Kennedy, is designed to photograph areas of the moon where astronauts could land. Project officials say that with the help of a mid-course steering maneuver, the satellite should go into orbit around the moon during the weekend.
The Voice of America proudly announced successful entry into orbit.
American scientists today successfully put the spacecraft Lunar Orbiter into orbit of the moon. Retro rockets on the spacecraft were fired at a critical maneuver to slow down the craft as it approached the moon, permitting the moon's gravity to draw it into orbit. Space scientists expect to find out the high and low points of the orbit after the craft has made one full circle of the moon. That should take about 3 hours and 47 minutes. Space agency officials expressed confidence that Lunar Orbiter would be able to substantially accomplish its major objectives. The mobile sending photographs to Earth of several areas considered potential landing places for astronauts, photographing the backside of the moon, and taking pictures of the American Surveyor craft, which sent out thousands of pictures after its soft landing on the moon in May. Lunar Orbiter is expected to begin taking its pictures in about 5 days. If all goes well, the spacecraft will be put through another maneuver in a few days to bring it even closer to the moon's surface for more detailed photographs.
And several days later, Lunar Orbiter 1 began to send back its first images of the moon.
Space news. America's moon satellite, Lunar Orbiter, sent test pictures back to Earth today. Gets ready to make many more pictures of the moon's surface. Space officials said the satellite is doing very well. It is now circling the moon and is expected to start sending new pictures on Thursday. Most of the pictures will begin coming back to Earth August 22nd.
Having taken 413 photos of the moon, Lunar Orbiter 1 was deliberately crashed onto the lunar surface on 1966, October the 29th.
The American satellite now circling the moon, Lunar Orbiter 1, will crash onto the moon's surface tomorrow and be destroyed. A signal will be transmitted from the ground control station directing the satellite's thruster rockets onto a path which will take it into the dark side of the moon. The American Space Agency says it is destroying the vehicle to prevent any accidental interference with a new lunar satellite being launched next weekend.
And that satellite was launched. In fact, there were 5 of them in all launched to orbit the moon to survey it for the Apollo missions. Well, you're listening to Turn Back Time on the Space Show here on 88.3 Southern FM. Last week, we were looking at Juno, marking the 15th anniversary of its launch and the 10th anniversary of it going into orbit around Jupiter. We didn't have time to broadcast all of the features we had for it, so we're going to make amends today. What we're going to hear now is called Visions of Harmony, and it was composed by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, and it has the voice of Scott Bolton, who was a project scientist on the mission, and musicians whose music was dedicated to the mission. Yes, there was quite a bit of music dedicated. This was done in 2016. So let's take a listen.
I can remember at a pretty early age, we went on some trip far away, you know, into the mountains where there weren't many lights. And I went outside at night and I looked up and I'd never seen that many stars. I couldn't leave. And I looked out and was reaching and just fascinated with what I saw and wondered how it worked. The reason Jupiter's so interesting is that after the sun formed, Jupiter was the first planet. And so when we want to go back and try to understand how the planets were made, I mean, where'd the stuff that made us come from? Jupiter kind of represents that first step. In a larger sense, it's really trying to understand nature, and we're part of nature. What is really going on? How do we understand nature? We have to look at it from an artistic perspective. We have to look at it from an analytical perspective. I think a lot of musicians are doing a similar kind of exploration, whether it be for themselves or for others.
I remember looking out into the stars when I was a child and trying to work out the feeling, and it's this real mixture of sort of like fear and joy, I think, which I think is awe. I feel like a lot of my songwriting starts from trying to describe a certain emotion or a certain sensation or something I've seen. The way that you can look out into sort of vast, infinite space, and how that can make you think about, you know, your own life and the life of your ancestors or the life of people on Earth, of how long we've been here, about what will be next.
I'm curious about so many things, but I'm also curious about the unknowns. I've always been captivated by looking at space, just understand that I'm a part of it.
I definitely think about it.
Making music was my own personal thing. It was like my diary.
The innovation comes from the combination of analytical and creative thought. Neither one can really make progress unless you've got both. Everybody's got to mix these worlds. The Renaissance in Florence. Galileo was this great scientist who certainly changed our culture forever. He came from a music background. There's people like Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci. I mean, you couldn't do Juno. You couldn't even think of the idea of going and doing a mission unless you had both halves of that.
I'd say so many of the best musicians I know have both of those things, absolutely. They can trip out and be whimsical and romantic and lost, but they also are really technical and really nerdy and really clever and organized. And, you know, music is repetition. You know, music is maths. And there's so many patterns in music. And if you were to explore the theory of music, you end up at pure maths.
Anything can be put in equation form, and it's just universal language. And music is everything, too. Nature sings. It makes music on its own. And if you go outside, the crickets are singing songs and birds are chirping. It's all boiled down to music. Sounds.
Fundamentally, in nature, harmony is everywhere. I mean, it's just sort of built into the natural laws. So if I pluck a guitar string, that guitar string is going back and forth vibrating. It's all tied to harmony and math called resonances, right? So something that's harmonically driven already sounds pleasant to us. Something that's disharmonic makes you kind of feel bad. We're in sync with that. Music and art are sort of experiments to me.
It's just literally ideas, be as creative as possible, throw as many things against the wall as we can. Just try, fail, try, succeed, kind of. And then, you know, keep trying until there's something that, you know, sounds good. You know, you go back into a studio and you really perfect it. And I'm always trying to find like that bar, that little tidbit that will make someone think a little bit, say something in a way that hasn't been said before. If one little thing, if one vocal, or if anything isn't right, I think it's unfinished and it doesn't work.
I might hear a piece of music and it stimulates me to think of some other thought. And maybe it links to some science exploration that I go do. Or maybe it makes me think of something I want to create musically or artistically. And one of the interesting things is that, so Juno, it's going to arrive at Jupiter. But I want to know how the spacecraft's doing. I want to know how some sensors are doing. The whole spacecraft is set up to send down tones during this critical maneuver when we go into orbit. What they really are is musical notes that, based on what musical note is sent, how something's doing. Is it working well or is it not? And it's kind of interesting that it all comes down to musical notes, basically.
You know, I love the fact that we live in a universe that's vibrating. I've been really lucky to hear some of the sounds from Jupiter that have been transferred into the part of the spectrum that we can actually hear. And they're almost what you'd think of as electronic, which is really fascinating. Of course they are, you know, it's just waves. The music that we make, that we think of as really contemporary, is actually ancient music. We're tapping into ancient music. The urge to make music, which is prevalent in, you know, every single culture that's ever been, it's just an extension of these waves and these kind of vibrations being made by everything all the time.
When we go to study art, or we listen to music, or we study nature and go to the forest or try to understand the ocean, it's all sort of enabling us to learn about ourselves and understand others. We have all these different mechanisms to try to reach out and understand, and that's so powerful. Juno represents what we can create when you mix a lot of different people together, some more scientific, some more artistic, some more creative, some more analytical, and we can use that as an example of how humanity can do even more.
When you're traveling, trying to make a song, you go through a bunch of unknowns, but there's like a destination in mind. What's something that could turn the world upside down and switch it up a little bit?
There's challenges every day, but it's all about beating fear. It's just a choice that you have to make and saying like, I'm scared of this and I don't want to be anymore. It's fulfilling curiosities.
You're standing on the edge. It's just total unknown in front of you. Oh my God, you know, what's out there? And the only way to know is to go take a risk. I can't help myself but to take that step. I'm just human.
I think music and just exploring, you know, it's a really great way of finding out what's inside, which is sometimes, it is kind of scary, but it's important to listen to that quiet voice and see what is to be said. I really am curious to know what's in there.
On the space show, we are celebrating the 15th anniversary of the launch of the Juno spacecraft to Jupiter, and the 10th anniversary, last July 5, of entry into Jovian orbit, and the craft is still operating. Well, Corinne Bailey-Ray has... She's from the United Kingdom, and she's got this dedicated song to the Juno mission to Jupiter. It's called The Skies Will Break.
Space and whispers on the heart, speaks and whispers.
And you